Now may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My thanks first to those who have read so clearly lessons, poetry, the roles of honour, and to those who have prepared today and decorated the church. I particularly love this display of poppies here. And to all who've come and overfilled our little church here in Turville out of respect and gratitude. Today is a most auspicious day for all of us who wear the poppies of remembrance. We have gathered exactly on the centenary of that very first hour of the silence of the Great War's guns. The land was churned with blood and ruin, and the death toll was far from yet complete. But at last, the fighting was commanded to stop, and the nations could begin to look to peace. The stubborn pride and short-sighted ambition that dragged so many people into misery had been all too common in previous national conflicts, but never before on such an awful scale. 10 million soldiers killed from the various warring nations, and more than twice as many seriously wounded. 8 million off the battlefield, starved and falling to disease. And then a truce so punitive that war would soon come again. How slow we are to heed the words of life-giving peace. I speak as a child of the 60s, and I've never been in a war. But I wear my grandfather's silk handkerchief, whose flowers look a lot like poppies. He was a quiet and gentle man who knew he couldn't fire a gun at anyone. So he became a Great War stretcher bearer and ambulance man. When he died in his early 70s, he seemed a much older man. But it's easy to forget how young these soldiers were. Many on all sides, still in their teens. Fritz, Tommy, Boris, or Jacques. What a fate for any nation's fine young men. My grandfather was only 20 by the end of the war, and happy to find work as a clerk when he returned. How much better if all those bright young men could have served their countries at home. Who would not rather plant and gather and share in a plentiful peace than set themselves against armies of others for the sake of a few sodden fields? And yet, young and old went bravely in the Great War and so many others. And for that, we are eternally grateful. The benefit of hindsight needs to be handled with care, for it is the courage and commitment of those who risked and gave their lives for the hope of peace that we are here to remember and honour today above all days. Winston Churchill was no doubt right when he said that jaw, jaw is better than war, war. But when evil is determined to take over, extraordinary things are done by those who had other promising lives. greater love hath no man, nor woman, nor even child, than that they lay down their life for their friends. And every nation has its own heartbreaking stories to tell. What unites us today is the hope that we might build a better world for tomorrow. Our reading from Isaiah was a message of hope to the people of Judah. Return to the city and the temple of God, and you will be a blessing to the world with peace and righteous justice. Those ancient Jews in exile, under the heel of a great foreign empire, could not have had very much idea that the Prince of Peace, their true high priest, would one day appear in the temple. That God himself would come to us and, as a man, submit himself to the same deadly powers of foolish pride that harm the whole of creation. His healing and his miracles, his teaching and his parables have clearly shown and taught us and the people of every nation that there is no peace with God unless we look for peace with our neighbour. And there is no peace with our neighbour unless we make our peace with God. So as we pledge our lives again here this morning, and as we pray again, as Christ our Lord has taught us, let us remember that true peace begins within and amongst us. And let this next century of remembrance build up that peace.